everybody. Welcome to Game Goose. Today is March 3rd, 2022. This is Season 4, Episode 17. My name is Dan Curry, joined here with Neil Brower and Clinton Brower. How are you boys doing?
Doing well.
Doing fine.
Doing good, good, good. This is Game Goose. We talk about video games, and now we talk about other stuff. But we'll always start with, what video games are you guys playing? I know that Neil has a big one, so let's just start with Neil.
I've been playing Elden Ring, and it's the best thing I've ever played in my life.
All right, that's enough from Neil, and I'm just kidding. Just tell us more about it. What's good? What's good?
It's you know when you say two games, it's like X and Y, but it's never a perfect comparison. It's always a little rough. Elden Ring is like Dark Souls and Breath of the Wild. Like, those games had a baby, and it's Elden Ring, and it's lovely. It's I don't know. It's just perfect. It's got a lot of the elements that I wasn't expecting. It's got a lot they pulled from what they learned in Sekiro, which is probably my favorite game. And they've splashed it into Dark Souls. So I don't know. Just in the first area alone, it's easy to get lost, and that's still a thing. They don't really tell you what to do. They've added one element of that, in that when you find a bonfire, it has a little like shoot of light in the direction you're supposed to go. But you're in an open world and you're staring at mountains and castles, and it's like, okay, I guess it's over here somewhere. So that's guided me pretty well. But other than that, like, I was getting stuck after the first big boss, and I looked up, what else can I do in the starter area? And there were like 20, 25 bosses that I didn't see. I totally missed. They're hidden in like cave dungeons. You got to do weird shit. Like, you got to run around at night to find them. I don't know. I'm having an absolute blast. It's still really hard. I don't know why people are saying, if you don't like Dark Souls, this might get you into it. No, I mean, it's just Dark Souls in a bigger world. It's incredibly punishing. I've died a lot of times to the same bosses, but it's everything I wanted. If you don't like Dark Souls, do not spend $60 on this game. You will be disappointed.
Where is it ranking right now on your Souls games?
Honestly, I think it's probably two. I'm okay with Sekiro being my favorite game. And the sword fighting in Sekiro is the most satisfying sword fighting you will ever play. Dark Souls is very much more Dark Souls dodge combat, less kind of parry, and it's less of a dance that Sekiro's got going for it. But there's also a lot more to this game. So maybe it'll become number one, but it's definitely my favorite. If you take Sekiro out of the Souls canon, it is definitely my favorite game so far.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, it's like taking like the internet by storm. I'm part of an Xbox like group on Facebook, and it is very funny to see all the people that are like, hey, I'm going to try to return this game because it's real hard. Like, yeah, did you not look up anything about it before you got it?
That is the deal, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Clinton, you've been playing any games over there?
Yeah, I have.
Cool. Well, so
I've been playing a bit of Minecraft as per usual. Okay. I've been kind of slowing down on that.
Are you still in the world with our friend Carl?
Mm-hmm. Carl, nice. And
Dylan.
Dylan, yes.
Nice.
I never remember his name. I always want to call him Neil. I was like, that's not Neil. not Neil. Phil is what I actually want to call him.
There you go.
But Phil is Neil's friend?
A different
Matt's friend?
Yeah.
That is another friend of mine,
yeah.
Yes.
So some other guy that played games with that I've never met. But other than that, not really a whole lot. I haven't had too much gumption. I got back into idle games, so I've been playing Egg Inc. and Realm Grinder again. And what's great about that is that I'm already, you know, 3/4 of the way through the game, so I get to pick up where I left off, and I come back to a bunch of money, and
that's the whole deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a great game to forget about.
but yeah, I've been doing a little bit of that. Tonight, though, we're playing Witch It, with a bunch of people, hopefully. That should be fun.
What's Widget? I've never heard of it.
It's a prop hunt game. So if you've ever played any prop hunt games or know what that is. If you don't know what prop hunt games are, for anyone listening in to our very secret conversation that we're having right now.
In front of microphones.
They are a they're a genre of game where there's a group of people who are hiding and a group of people who are trying to find them. But instead of like a, you know, you're all like people running out and hiding in a field or whatever, half of the people, well, not half, whatever number of the people are, they can turn into any of the objects that exist in the level. And there'll be, you know, like books and lamps and pillows and couches and paintings on the walls and, you know, just thousands and thousands of just different objects kind of scattered through whatever map or like little square you're trying to like hide in. And then the other group is trying to find the people that have turned themselves into whatever random prop and hidden themselves in a way that looks natural in the world. And so there's a lot of different games that do it, but Witchit is your witches that go out and turn into these props, and then there are peasants who run around throwing potatoes at objects. And if you hit one of the witches with a potato, she goes like, "Wah!" And then you can chase them around, and then you just have to like hit them with like a melee attack to capture them. So it's pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah,
I'm playing that. I am pretty excited.
I saw mods of that for like I think it was like a game called Terrorist or I've seen different versions.
Yeah, I think there's a Call of Duty mod that's a prop hunt game. There's a shit ton of them. There's mobile versions. There's like 100 mobile games that are prop hunt games and stuff.
Do you play on Steam?
Yeah, which is on Steam.
Gotcha.
It's just a, you know, it's just a simple, fun little party game. And you can play it like with randos, but we're just going to try and get a big group together and play it just to the group of us. But yeah, which it's fun because the witches have special powers. They can like hover and fly. So you actually have a chance to get away and rehide, which is a lot of fun. Like panic hiding as, you know, someone is chasing you behind you. And then the peasants have a, like a lot of cool options too. Like throwing potatoes is just a goofy kind of fun thing. But they also have like, you know, ground pounds that like explode an area around them and send everything flying. And so it was a lot of fun, and it ends up pretty chaotic. There was like a couple modes where like once you get found, you turn into a peasant. So then like there's more and more people trying to find you as you longer you
like
last.
A zombie kind a zombie. Of thing.
Yeah. So
nice.
Should be fun.
Nice. That'll be fun. On my end, I just have a couple games because I got stuck on this one game that I love, and if it's not top five at the end of this year, then it's been a great year. So I've been playing game Skull the Hero Slayer.
Dan's been playing Skull the Hero Slayer, which I was all now completely forgot about because of the excellence that is Elden Ring. Go on, yeah. Dan.
So Skull the Hero Slayer is a roguelike game. It's kind of like Dead Cells, if you've ever played Dead Cells. But the big twist is you're a skeleton, and like you're not the bad guys, but you're kind of like the archetypes of bad guys. So the whole world, you know, there was a alliance between the demons and the, you know, evils, like dark side of the world, and the humans, and the humans have betrayed it. And they've stolen the Demon King. So you're a skeleton, and you're going to try to rescue the Demon King. The big twist about this one is you can pick up skeleton skulls and put them on, and you gain their powers. So you can carry two skulls at a time. You can upgrade them, and it's just super fun. It is very difficult. It gets easier as you go. You get upgrades and stuff. But honestly, I've gotten almost all the upgrades, and I still like can't get past the third world normally.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it's super hard. But it's kind of that thing where, you know, everything is a little rewarding, where when you die, you feel you feel like, you know, you've gotten a little farther every time, hopefully, that you understand everything a little better. But really the most fun is finding the skulls and putting them on and trying them and see what happens when they level up. So there's common skulls, rare skulls, unique skulls, and legendary skulls. And you can find skulls that are just legendary right off the bat. But if you find a common one, you can actually spend bones and see what it's like. And the animation changes and they get cooler powers. So
are you saying that the bones are their money?
The bones are their money. So are the worms. But there are coins too. They're like a different kind of currency. But, you know, I think when we talked about what mechanics we like in video games, I like evolution. And so, like, to have a roguelike that has kind of like this evolution thing where one of my favorite characters is the werewolf. And so I like to level him up to legendary. And he just becomes this big hulking, like, monster. It's super fun. There's three different categories of skulls. There's power. They're the strongest. They have, like, a down slam, but they can only dash once. There's speed. They obviously attack the fastest. They dash the farthest. And there's balance. And they have the most cooldown. And they're kind of... they're really slow for being like a middle ground, I feel like, but their cooldowns are slower and they have usually cooler powers, but tend to be a little slower. But and that's just kind of like the art. That doesn't necessarily mean that everyone that's a power is going to have a down slam or anything like that. That's just kind of the outline, but it's super cool. It's on Game Pass. Art is really cool, pixel art, and music is fun. Which is good because you play the same levels over and over. So if the music sucked, it would be a bummer. But highly recommend this if you like challenging games, if you liked Dead Cells. It's really cool.
Yeah, if that falls out of my top three, really good game for really good year for video games, because I was having a blast with that.
Yeah, it's super fun. I've kind of taken a rest on it, though, because I just have gotten stuck at this part. So... I was kind of looking at some other games. I tried, and I don't know how to say the second word, even though it's a very popular game. I've tried Nier Automata or Automata.
I don't know.
Clinton, any input on this?
I've always heard Automata. Oh my God. Automata is not the right one.
That is not the right one?
Yeah.
Automata is the right one?
After you said, I don't know, you've got me all confused.
I'm sorry, I have no idea. Automata actually sounds better, though.
I can't even spell near to look at it. There we go.
Okay.
Automata.
Automata, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is, too. I started playing that because I tried it before because everyone's like, it's so good. You know, you're level for anime bullshit has to be medium high, I'd say. But the cool thing about this game is that it changes genres, like, on the fly. Not randomly, like, at certain parts. So, like, the game starts as, like, a Galaga style, I'm a jet and things are coming at me, and I shoot them. Then it's, like, a third-person action, like, brawler. And then sometimes it's a 2D platformer. And that just kind of not randomly, but it happens at certain points in the game. And I hear there are some really cool surprises. Other than that, it seems pretty standard, like kill bad guys, pick up their loot kind of stuff. But the story is kind of interesting. There's like these robots that were sent by aliens, and you are androids that were created by humans to like try to retake the Earth. Tell you what, I don't know if you've ever seen this game, but they are not shy about showing you this, your main character's butt. They love to show you her butt. She wears a skirt and, oh, you get to ride a moose. That's really cool. When we ride the moose, you better believe you're looking at her butt.
I mean, that's just fan service, isn't it?
Right. But I remember because Neil was like, what anime shit are you playing? And I was kind of thinking about it. I'm like, it's not super anime, you know, like the character, the art is and stuff. And as soon as I was saying that, the most anime shit ever happened. All the robots got together and they like formed this like cocoon and it got real bright and then they broke open and a naked man with no penis came down and started fighting me.
Yep, okay.
With long blonde hair, and I was like, all right, now this is some anime shit. But it's still pretty cool. I still want to play more of it. The thing is, you know, February had a bunch of great games that a lot of people were excited for, Horizon and Elden Ring. March is my time. We have Tunic coming out, and Borderlands is a maybe for me, but Kirby and the Forgotten Land. The demo came out today. I just played a little bit of that, and it's what you expect, so it's good. It's fun. I'm excited to play more of it. Kind of got a Mario kind of style where you go world to world. It's not open. People kind of thought it might be like a Breath of the Wild kind of open Kirby. It's more of a why can't I remember the Mario Odyssey kind of thing. Gotcha. And the mouthful mode is ridiculous. I've been a car, I've been a vending machine, and I've been a cone all very quickly in the first two worlds. But it's fun. Like I think they're just kind of introducing me to like what they can do, because each thing can do something different. Like the car can smash through walls, and the can has like ammo, but it can like take out enemies really quick. The vending machine, and then the cone can like smash things in the ground and like open up hidden tunnels, or like hit a pipe and you can go flying in the air. So it's pretty cool so far. I'm excited to finish the demo and. Just playing it and all the fun music and stuff. I'm like, ah, God, Nintendo, they got me. I'm gonna get this game immediately.
Yeah, so colorful and fun and stupid and happy.
Yes, and just kind of like Skull. Like I didn't realize like Skull kind of has a Kirby kind of vibe to it, where you take someone's powers and you can use them. And it is really fun to like suck up everything and be like, oh, can I be this guy? Can I be this guy? So far there's some pretty classic ones that have been in Kirby for a long time, but. Excited to look at more. To fought some bosses as well. There's already boss fights, so that's always one thing I liked about Kirby.
Nice.
So, any other games that we haven't talked about that you've dove into? I know Neil's going to have a lot more on Elden Ring.
Yeah, I could talk about that for days, but no, I'm sure I'm missing some, but that's all that matters.
So this week's our off-topic week. So this week we're all just going to kind of bring a little something that we've been doing or reading or listening to or watching or whatever, and just kind of talk about it. So Neil, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I think mine will go fast. And it's today's topic is Olympics: colon, how much do we care? I mean, I don't know about for you guys, but for me, growing up, the winter, my family had three things on TV: Jeff Corwin, Whose Line's It Anyway, and the Winter Olympics. It was huge. I thought everybody loved figure skating. Turns out, not so much. But like, that was gather and observe time. And I wouldn't say it wasn't necessarily like. It's more go team than it is go America. You know, I know there's a level of patriotism like baked into the Olympics, obviously. But what I'm wondering is, especially just being a lurker on the internet, like people only talk about the Olympics now through the lens of national politics, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now. And more I'm seeing people like saying, you know, rigged, or even if it's not rigged, like, why are we still doing this? And I could go either way. I kind of don't care. I feel bad for the athletes who train their entire lives for a sport that can really only, like, I don't know how many people are out there with track and field sponsorships, unless you're an Olympian, not many. But I don't know. Do we still care about the Olympics?
So my thing about the Olympics is I think that they are a lot of fun. I think it's a cool thing. I never went to any of the events, but I was in London when the Summer Olympics in 2012 happened. And it was crazy, you know, the amount of people that came into London. I was there for an internship at the time. So I wasn't there specifically, you know, for the Olympics. I was there for 4 months prior to that and through the Olympics, and then I left. I must have been there, I don't know, it was there for a long time, and then I left the middle of the Olympics, and it was pretty crazy, you know, the difference of like seeing a very patriotic event, which was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. There were, you know, millions of people came into London for the Diamond Jubilee, and they watched the Queen float down the river in a boat. And the amount of, like, patriotism that you think that, like, something like that would bring out, you know. And it was, like, a cool thing, you know. Everyone loves the Queen. Well, not everyone, obviously, but, like, people love the Queen, and she's, like, an iconic figure in the world. And so, like, people from the world came to see the Diamond Jubilee because she's the second person to ever make it that long as a monarch of England. And so it was, like, a big thing. But then the Olympics happened, and the amount of people that came into London for the Olympics was crazy. It was amazing. It was nuts. The amount of, like, work they had to put in to, like, infrastructure to, like, facilitate it and all of that. It was just crazy. And so, like, as a spectacle, I think it is something truly, like, you know, it brings people together, and it shows kind of, like, human ingenuity and human, like, the drive to, like, overcome things for the sake of a peaceful, fun competition, just so that, you know, athletes from wherever can come and enjoy 2 weeks of tomfoolery without kind of the pressures of, you know, it is like a geopolitical, like, gathering without the pressures of politics in a way. Yeah. You know, it is still very political, but I don't think the athletes have to, you know, engage in politics when they're there. They just can show up and they can do their stuff. They can show their skills on a world stage. And I think that's something really special and cool. Where I get kind of off track from, you know, cheering on the Olympics is, like, the way Middle America interacts with it, which is through, what is it, ABC that does the Olympics? I don't, whatever channel does,
I think
the
NBC
Olympics.
Does.
NBC, ABC, whoever it is, one of the three letter fucking TV stations. Yeah. The only way you can watch the Olympics in the US is through that station. And, well, there's probably other ways now, but it was always couched in, like, here is this fucking, you know, this girl who is a downhill luge, skeleton luge. She was orphaned as a child, and, you know, this family adopted her, and, like, this is her story, and this is her, like, sob story, and why you need to be rooting for her as, like, the Olympian to, like, to root for. And, like, it was always, like, here's, you know, an hour fucking expose on Shaun White, and, like, it was, like, them trying to make the athletes into celebrities. Which,
right, well, trying to create, like, a reality television show.
Yeah, which, yeah. That's not what I want. I want to turn it on. I want to watch three, you know, out-of-shape middle-aged guys throw stones down an ice lane and sweep the fucking ice in front of it. I want to watch, you know, an amazing 14-year-old girl do, like, 17 backflips in a row. Like, I don't give a shit if she, you know, saw her sister get stabbed when she was 12. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, I just want to see her do backflips.
If you are interested in that, there's so many avenues now to watch that kind of stuff. Like,
I don't want to... I don't give a shit about the athletes personally, what their personal stories are. I want to watch the Olympics for feats of athleticism. Yeah. I want to see, you know, some amazing athletic events. I want to see the best people in the world doing the thing that they are the best at the top level, and amaze me with the things that they do. I don't give a shit that she has three kids at home that are cheering her on. I don't give a shit that her husband works at a fucking chocolate factory in Pennsylvania. Like, who gives a shit? No one. Except all these fucking, I don't know. Someone must give a shit because they do it every year. But...
I mean, I hate to break it to you. A lot of people give a shit. I mean...
No, I know. Like, that's why I said, like, middle America fucking eats that shit up. Like, but that's why the voice is such a fucking phenomenon. Like, because it is just a bunch of bullshit. Like, hey, sit down here and tell us something traumatic about you. And they're like, Well, my dad died when I was 25. Stop. I don't give a shit. Just let me watch people do amazing things. Like, that's why I'm here. Like, I don't want to watch. I don't know.
I have, like, somewhat mixed feelings on it. Like, personally, I don't care that much. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it. Like, it's neat to watch and stuff. But yeah, I do agree. Like, it's a cool thing for all the countries to get together and do something like competitive. But it should be friendly competition. But then you kind of get this situation where like people are doing steroids and there's like a lot of pressure on like really young people. They don't even get like money. They just get these medals and like this national pride. And the fact that some countries, I mean, maybe us included, take it so seriously that like, you know, they have to like pump themselves up, or they're like, you know, have, you know, young gymnasts that are like 13, 14 years old, like going through crazy stuff. You know, I'm not a huge fan of that part of it, but the way I interact with the Olympics is usually just through like social media. Like, I'll just see like random things, you know. There's always some big story in the Olympics. Like this year it was that Russian girl who was caught doping, and then they were like, well, if she wins, we'll cancel the ceremony, but we're still gonna let her compete. It was like really weird. And just recently, like the last couple of years, there's just been a lot of like racist stuff, like racist, systematic racism in the Olympics. Like that Russian girl got to compete, but I think it was last year during the Summer Olympics, there's a black woman who tested positive for marijuana and they kicked her out. Yeah. And it was like, okay, so that's kind of double standard. So, I mean, but that's just like the world. There's just systematic racism in the world. But for the most part, like, I think there are people that really care, and there are people who don't care at all. But I think most people are probably like, eh, if it's on, I'll watch it.
Free sport.
Yeah. It always goes way longer than I think. Like, it will start, and then people will be like, do you watch the Olympics the other day? And I'll be like, that's still happening? It's so long. Yeah. But
all right. I think that's how we handle these off topic. Yeah. The one thing I did want to say was, Clinton mentioned, I wasn't even in New York for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But when the World Cup, I was in New York. The World Cup was in Brazil. That is the most alive New York ever felt in my nearly 10 years living there. Like, every bar, every corner had some country's shirt. And they were, and it was never like there was no animosity. It was just like Mexico fans and USA fans would point at each other and be like, rah! Just like yell like drunken frat boys for a week or so. Like, everybody was just pumped about soccer, and you just, your pockets of cheering just randomly throughout the day and just echoed down the streets. It was so cool. It was such a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, for sure. I think, on your thing about, I'm just going back, because I don't want to give up the Olympics chat yet.
Yes.
I don't know. The Olympics is kind of like, you know, the gymnasts, like, they are just like all teenagers. And, like, at a certain point, like, it's like, why are we, like, letting children, like, putting this pressure on these children to come compete? And why isn't there, like...
That's when you're the best for gymnasts.
I know, but, like, why is that even an option, you know? Like,
right.
Why isn't there, like, an age, cutoff on, like, sending kids to the Olympics? Because that's a lot of pressure,
I think it's 14.
Like,
and I think it's China that everyone's like, that girl is not 14.
Yeah.
It's just like some 9-year-old. It's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and they're fucking putting steroids in her and shit.
Right.
This shouldn't be a thing. Like,
and again, they don't get money.
No.
They don't win part of the other country's land.
No.
It's this weird thing.
I mean, I think it's easy to point to China and Russia athletes to do pretty strange things. But also, I mean, Larry Nassar was the Olympic gymnast doctor at MSU. Mm-hmm. And we swept that under the rug for as long as we fucking possibly could.
That's true. On a more positive note, one of the cool things to do is watch like a gymnast or like any sport, whatever, from like early Olympics, and then watch today's. And just the fact that we've done the science to figure out how to make the human body better. yeah, like perform better is crazy.
A lot of that is equipment and stuff too.
Yeah.
Like the javelin throw, the current world record will never be beat because they started throwing so far that they had to change the way the javelin is like weighted and how much it weighs so that they weren't throwing out of the track.
Jeez.
So like they added more weight at the front. So they shifted the weight forward and added more weight to it so that they couldn't throw it as far. So it would fall, yeah, faster.
Huh.
That's not.
Yeah. Or maybe it's more weight in the back. I don't know. Something that like it adds like takes a lot of the like distance out of it. So like the current world record is like 10 yards short of the 10 yards farther than like the current throws because they had to change the equipment to keep them from stabbing someone who's walking across the track.
It's a pedestrian.
Jeez. But yeah, that's like swimming. Do you remember in what was it, the Bay? No, I remember it was one of the swimming Olympics, 2004 maybe. They were talking about the like shark suits that the U.S. team had because it made them 3 seconds faster than they would be without them, like shit like that.
The equipment thing is totally weird. Like, have you ever watched The Archers? They've got like
They're like space age bows, yeah,
attached to their bow. And I'm still like, and you still didn't hit the bullseye, dude. What?
Yeah.
That's the other terrible thing about the Olympics, though, is like there's 6 stadiums sitting down in Rio that are just dilapidated now. They poured taxpayer dollars into paying, and we just hope that the tourism paid those off and they got profit. But those won't be used again for another.
I mean, that's what was one of the cool things about the London Olympics too, is that all of the things that they built for the Olympics, they had a use for it after, planned before they even started building.
That's good.
So like the one, like the swimming stadium, because swimming is like the one of the biggest spectator summer sports. They had built this giant stadium, but like 2 of the wings were like plan to come off of it and make it like more reasonably sized after the Olympics were done. And so it's just like a swimming stadium now that's like used for like, I don't know if it's a university or like London schools or like who actually uses it now, or if it's, you know, what the, you know, agency or organization that uses it is, but it's a lot smaller than it was previously. They had built it to be like quarter the size when it was the Olympics were over.
I mean, it's interesting. I just wanted to get your, because nobody talks, I only see like posts. I don't think, like a lot of things, I think it's going to start dying with our generation.
I don't know.
I think it'll still keep going.
Yeah,
it'll keep going, but I think the interest in it will plummet.
Yeah,
I don't know.
People will always watch soccer, Olympic soccer. People will always watch some of those like high tier sports, but I wouldn't be surprised if the amount that is televised dies.
I feel like just in general, interest in everything has waned because there's so much more to do.
Or yeah, like different places you pick your niche. Yeah,
because it was just, I'm sure that's already happened, and I'm sure there was already a panic, and you know. Because it's like, well, now I can watch a million channels or a million shows on whatever streaming device or play a game or anything now. So
I sent you a screenshot when you were at the... I was hanging out at my parents' house. My sister and brother-in-law were there. And they have DirecTV, and I was flipping through the channels, and I sent you a... It was just on the left, they had the channel information, abbreviated version of just cool. It was the cool channel. And it was an hour and a half of Mike Huckabee on Christians and Jews.
Oh,
like, this is why my generation doesn't want cable.
Right? No kidding. No kidding. All right, Clinton, what topic did you bring for us today?
What did you bring for us?
Oh, I can do mine first. So I've been watching the MCU movies again in release order. I've watched up to the Avengers. And Just a couple things I've noticed. First off, so up until the Avengers, I believe, it was Paramount Studios before Disney bought them. The vibe of those is so different, and it's kind of shocking that it made it through, because overall, those first movies are not solid. They are not like home runs one after another. They're all fine. I mean, Iron Man is good. Iron Man is good. You can watch Iron Man on its own. It's a good movie. I like The Hulk, but I know that's personal bias. It is a pretty all right movie. Also, it's
Captain America is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's better. Like, a lot of the movies are better in retrospect. Like, Captain America is much better in retrospect than it was when you first watched it. But they were a lot more violent at the beginning, and they were a lot darker. Like, The Hulk is a very dark movie compared to how he ended up. Yeah, Thor is okay, and Iron Man 2 is...
They've turned The Hulk into a comic relief character.
Yes. He's much more brighter. Like, it was much more like it was almost had, like, horror elements. Like, it was a very dark, like, looking movie, and it was always stormy, and they fought, like, at night, and when he first, like, arrives, he's, like, pulling people behind, like, you know, billboards and stuff. But in Captain America, he kicks a dude, and he goes into a propeller blade, and he like explodes. I'm like, holy shit, they would never do that again. And as much as like Iron Man 2 is kind of like shat on and stuff, it's pretty decent. Like, but the best stuff about it is about like Tony's like alcoholism and his problem with that, and like I don't think Disney ever would have touched something like that. In Iron Man 1, he like has like stripper poles and like girls dancing and stuff, and I just wonder, like, I don't know if it would have survived without Disney buying it, because they're, you know, Avengers is great. Avengers is a really good movie from front to back, and has a lot of great lines and a lot of memes came out of it. And it's just a really tight, good movie. But I wonder just what the MCU would look like, or if it would even still be around if Disney hadn't bought it. But yeah, Avengers is like the first one where you're watching like, okay, this can be like something. Because before that, it was like, now I'm excited to start like pushing through more of them. Where before it was like, man, these first movies are a little bit of a slog.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when Avengers came out, everyone was like, oh my god, this movie is amazing. Like,
yeah.
And it was very, you know, highly regarded at the time as being the best Avengers, or the best comic book movie that had ever been released, and like all of that. So. I definitely understand that kind of like tone, if that's like the tone that it sets in the kind of timeline, it makes sense, because even at the time, like looking back at it, I mean, because even at the time it was, you know, kind of looked at in the same way.
Yeah, and I think it kind of like set the tone for what the MCU is now. Yeah. It was much more, because I think Disney had bought it at that time. I think it has like the Paramount logo at the beginning, but at the end it says like, distributed by Disney Studios. So I think there was kind of like a mix, but it's much
bought
more
it
like,
after Guardians.
Let's see. When
that it was between Guardians and Hulk on Hulk Iron Man. Not Iron Man. Thor Hulk movie.
Nope, they bought it in 2009. So I'm assuming that may not have gone through, or the movies had not been, you know, fully, you know, done, because Avengers came out in 2012. So I think it just kind of sets the tone for the rest of the MCU and being mostly having a lot more comedy moments. There's a lot more like funny stuff, like the puny god and, you know, stuff like that. And before that, like, none of them are like, there's not a whole lot of humor in any of the Marvel movies, besides Iron Man, just because of Robert Downey Jr. But yeah, Avengers, I hadn't watched that movie in a long time, and that was like, I kind of got pumped again to watch them all come together. And the fight scene at the beginning, kind of towards the beginning, where Thor and Iron Man and Captain America fight, is really cool. I think that was kind of the moment where you're like, all right, this is where it kind of takes off. This is where we can see the payoff of, oh, we get to see these characters together. which is like the norm now. You know, you don't really expect to go to see a Marvel movie and not see more than one superhero.
Yeah, I always hammer that in when people are talking how this whole phenomenon unfolded. Of course, we knew what crossovers were.
Mm-hmm.
But to this level and on this budget, it was something that had never been done before. And I think in retrospect, yeah, those movies aren't great, but they were also, again, the first time we were seeing those type of movies mm-hmm. at that level of production. Yeah. So yeah, while now we can look back and review them, and while, you know, movie critics busted them, our nerd self was like, holy shit, this is, you know, this is, it, yes, it's an action movie, but it's also, it's based on something we know. And I mean, I think about those first, I didn't know much about Marvel when those, obviously I knew Spider-Man because he already had 19 movies and a TV series. But the rest of the Marvel stuff, I didn't know that much about. So I think that's really what kept it afloat. And if you knew they must have had, like, when they pitched Iron Man, I doubt they pitched, like, the whole universe on the success of Iron Man. I think that might have been the plan going in.
Well, yeah, because at the end of Iron Man, they mentioned, hey, I'm making a team. Like, they had this. I think they had the idea at least to get to the Avengers. But it's crazy because, like, even though I say those movies are a slog, they actually have good critic ratings. The worst one is Hulk at 67 on Rotten Tomatoes. But I think they get, well, besides Dark World, they get quite a bit better. But yeah, it's interesting to go back. And I think the other thing is, like, I think they seem a little bit of a slog to me now because it's not. Now we're seeing characters that we already know, and there's not, like, a lot of setup. But the reason why, like, Justice League and stuff struggles so much is they try to skip what Marvel did, which was make 5 movies before they finally got together.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, DC would have really done a lot better if they would have slowed down and made a Batman movie and made a Superman movie and made a, you know, but they did, like, Superman, and then they did Batman versus Superman and try to introduce all the characters so they could create their Justice League as quickly as possible so they could, like, rake in money, and it just fell apart because they didn't take their time.
Yeah, and other reasons apparently that are shadier, but
yeah.
The whole Zack Snyder, Joss Whedon thing is weird, but we're not talking about them.
Yeah. And just weird storylines that kind of get dropped early on. Like, I know Abomination came back, but, like, there's people in Hulk that, like, start to transform that we've never seen again. I know it's kind of because it's almost not even canon. But can you imagine Edward Norton being the Hulk in the current Marvel? It would be so so odd. He'd be so out of place.
Yeah, he doesn't have that vibe.
Yeah, and you know, it hasn't come up yet in my rewatch, but the Hulk and Black Widow love story is, like, really weird. They just kind of abandoned some very odd stuff that happened early on, which probably for the better. But
who's the other one that got replaced? Don Cheadle.
He replaced. Oh shoot.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes. Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard. What?
Yeah. In Iron Man 2, Don Cheadle comes up. He goes, "I'm here. Let's deal with it." Or "I'm here. Deal with it," or something like that. He says it to Iron Man, but it's kind of just like a thing. Yeah. Kind of crazy that they're the only two that have had to be recast so far.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm interested to see how long it lasts. I know, like, the Star Wars universe is dealing with a fair amount of fatigue. Mm-hmm. I know the TV series have kind of alleviated that, but
yeah,
nothing's immune to it. It will happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they're kind of just going the comic book route where it's going to be, you know,
they're going to phase out heroes and phase in new ones.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it will, because the comic books had a fatigue. That's why all these studios owned all this Marvel stuff, was Marvel was struggling, so they just sold all their rights to movies. So I'm sure it could happen, but I'm wondering, you know, I kind of think that right now there's kind of like a multiverse kind of thing going on. I feel like this might go on for 10 years, because Thanos took like 10 years, that Infinity Gauntlet thing. If this saga kind of takes 10 years, that's going to be 20 years. And they could use like a multiverse kind of situation to reboot, because the comics do that all the time too. Because they're going to run out of characters, and they're going to need, you know, they're going to need people to come see Iron Man again. They're going to need people to come see Hulk and Captain America, and you can't have, you know. So I think they'll eventually reboot at some point. So.
All right. On to my question, or my topic.
Yes, like,
it's
sir.
A question, if you couldn't tell. It's just a short one, is why I wanted to go last.
Okay.
You have just bought a $60 million yacht. What do you name it?
Oh, God.
A $60 million yacht?
Yep. Very big, like, you know, it's got like 40 rooms like on it. It's like top of the line, you know. I don't know how much yachts cost, so.
Do yachts get SS?
Or is that I think you can kind of just vessel? Name it whatever you want.
You can name it whatever you want. See, I always like to go with alliteration with my last name. So I you know, my first thought, I had to put more thought into it to come up with somewhere clever, but my instant go-to is like the Curry Cruiser or something.
Yeah,
but it's kind of boring, but that's just where my first thought goes.
Yeah, I
will never get over inanimate objects and animals having human names, so just like
Keith,
Chuck
is Brunhilde.
$60 million, this is Chuck, nice to meet you.
My favorite
big yachty.
My favorite yacht names are like, they just take two adjectives and name them that. Or yeah. Like, so it's like, you know, indomitable speed or something.
Nebulous bag.
Nebulous just bag.
Like yeah. Racing horse names almost.
Yeah. You just take two unrelated concepts and you just name it that.
You know what I'd name it? Yacht-C. S-E-A. Yahtzee.
Indubitable equivalent.
Ooh.
That's pretty the name good. Of one on here. The Codfather.
The Codfather's good. I wasn't getting punny enough, yeah.
Seduction.
It would definitely be a pun.
Naughty boy. Yeah.
It's hard to talk. It's hard to keep an audio medium going while trying to think of a good pun.
That is true. All right. Well, if you want to tell us what your yacht name would be, email us at gamegoosepodcast@gmail.com. Do that and let us know what you would name your $60 million yacht.
And also tell us what to talk about.
Tell us what to talk about.
Send us the best fan art you found of 2B's butt.
You're off. 2B from near. Yeah. Yes.
2B.
Automata.
That's her name. Yes, 2B. So the android
all the androids are a number and a letter.
2B, A2, 9B. 9C or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. So not like T-U-B-E.
No.
It's 2B.
I'm 2B.
You play as 2B, and then you have a friend named 9S, but people call 9S. Him 9s.
9S. And then there's A2, I think.
I've only met my character, and then another one. And then
But send me some butt pics.
It happens a lot. When you jump from a building, she like puts her hands out like she's skydiving. It's just like, whoop, there goes her skirt stuff. I would love to show you her butt.
What was that tweet you sent me? It was like, it's tough to recommend anime to people because you never know who.
You cut out, Neil.
Yeah.
What was the?
You Danos never know.
Yeah, it was like you in order to ever recommend anime or recommend things to people, you have to know their level of tolerance for anime bullshit.
and everyone's different or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someday you guys will send me. I'll watch a series. I will not watch a show. I will watch a series of an anime.
You
either make it one that I would enjoy or one that you know I will
hate. Oh, that's good. We should find a nice one.
You play Monster Hunter. That's got some pretty anime bullshit in it.
Oh, it totally does. It totally does.
Yeah, send us some good anime, and we'll gauge Neil's level for anime bullshit.
He's watched Avatar, which is like very low anime bullshit, like, but at least it's
a marame.
You watched Pokemon in the past when you were a kid, I'm sure.
When I was a kid, yeah, sure.
That's full of anime bullshit.
That is full of anime bullshit. That's true. I'm trying to think of any anime that I watched that I liked.
Hunter.
I watched Hunter x Hunter. That was good.
Just Hunter.
Every time I tell Google to play it.
Yeah, because Google is really the authority on how to pronounce things.
Yeah.
Look, if anybody knows good anime, it's a computer, okay?
That is true. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for Game Goose. And we've been gone for a while, but we'll probably be back.
Yeah.
Probably.
We never know what's going to happen in our lives.
Who knows?
So, I mean, we do, but we just forget to tell you guys. Anyway, none of your business. Have a good night.